So you have to have a business model that includes more than relying on subscribers. And that's why we know that advertising is the way to do it. Brand partnership and sponsorship is the way to do it as well. And then again, that's why we have Indie Soup Learn that builds in a way for the network and also creators to make money through teaching the craft. We're going to have a merch store as well. That's another. So they're there's not just one way. It is going to be multiple streams of income for us.
It's time for the Stream Leader Report. Discover the hottest trends in digital media. Here's your host, Ross Brand.
Joining me right now to talk more about independent networks is somebody who's starting her own independent network called Indie Soup. It is Dr. Tachi. You know her as the host of Mediascope for the past 8 years, a prolific content creator and a friend. Of course, Mediascope is all things media, tech, and pop culture, and we're sort of on the convergence of all those things with these new independent networks and different distribution styles and plans and everything. So want to talk to Dr. Tachi and see what she has planned. So tell us about Indie Soup, what you're planning, and what made you decide to do your own network.
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. You know, I relish in any opportunity to come and speak with you, Ross Brand. Well,
thank you. It's always great to chat with you.
And that's the thing. We were chatting offline one day, and we both said that this is just the natural progression when you're a live streamer or a content creator for many people. You've been doing this for so many years. You've built an audience, a following, community, if you will. And you just wonder, what is the next thing? What goes beyond this? Especially when you are looking to, all right, let's take the next step and see about monetization and things like that. And it's very difficult with the traditional media outlets for that to happen. First of all, they're not even checking for you or looking for you,
right?
Because media works with who media knows. And if they don't know you, It probably is not going to happen. And I'm not trying to sound, you know, like a downer, but it's the truth. And so it's interesting because Lou Klein, who was one of the founders of the NATP Educational Foundation, and the reason that I got my faculty fellowship with NATP, said this. It's a little bit of what you know. It's a little bit of who you know, but it's more who knows you. So using that as the platform for everything, or the basis for everything, we basically decided, well, you know, we know ourselves. We know people in the live streaming space. We can do this for ourselves. And that's kind of what made it crop up. And actually, MC Curtis, who is my co-host behind the scenes and producer of Mediascope, actually kept saying, this is something we should do. And I just say, hey, okay, Curtis, that's fine. Would you like another bottle of water? Yeah, I just kept putting it off.
Right.
But after about the seventh time he said this, I'm like, okay, you're serious about this. So, you know, my thing is, I'm always like, how serious are people about things before I put my energy into something?
Right.
So because he was really serious about this, and I saw he kept, I'm like, all right, let's try. And Indie Soup was born.
So tell us about Indie Soup. What are you planning? What kind of a network it's going to be? Where can we watch? All that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. All that jazz. So Indie Soup is an OTT network, and it is a web-based network and a metaverse-based network. So those are
an element we'll have to talk a little more about, because that's not something we've gone into with 100 TV yet. But give us the basics first, so we understand the context, and then we can dive into what's different with the metaverse aspect.
Absolutely. Okay, so Metaverse, you stay over here for a
minute. Yeah.
Talk with your brothers
I'm still dealing with AI and ChatGPT and all that.
Oh, my goodness.
The Metaverse is a whole different, it's a whole deeper swimming pool that I haven't explored completely.
It is. So when you think of, we are an AVOD or an advertising video on demand. You probably have seen those of you watching VOD, video on demand. And so you think of Netflix, you think of Hulu, you think of Amazon Prime. Those are where you can go in and watch programming at your leisure. You can watch it as many times as you like because it lives there. The channel is like a repository for those types of things, right? So just similar to like with 100 TV, we could go back in the YouTube archives right now and watch all of the fantastic content you have. Right. So in addition to AVOD, we are also a live linear. So whenever you tune into the places where we'll be, you'll be able to see something going on. And our broadcast day initially is going to be a little bit condensed because, you know, like you, I'm sure you know, we're building the creator base. So we have everything condensed in a block that will start probably from about 5 o'clock and go through 10 o'clock daily. And so that's
ambitious. That's pretty ambitious.
It's very.
Are you thinking of doing YouTube in a linear fashion? Or are you thinking of that's okay? Wow. So I hope you can do it because then I can go back to everybody and go, I told you it could work. I told you.
Yeah. Well, if Ross Brand is in your corner, what is that saying? If Ross Brand before ye, who be against ye? So if he's in our corner, I think we could do it. So that's what we're attempting to do. We know that something that will work on Roku, that's something that will work on our website, which is another place it's going to be done. For the social platforms like YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, and then in the metaverse, we probably will do the linear thing, but we probably again will do it in a block, and it may not be all day every day. It's just we have to monitor to see the numbers to see whether or not that makes sense, and also train the audience to know, okay, this is here, you know, you can watch it now. So we shall see. All of this is a big experiment. If you think about it, everything is a big experiment, but I have such faith in the independent distribution space that all of us cannot fail. We will not.
Right. And I think it's going to be trial and error. I mean, we're going to learn from each other. We're going to talk. And, you know, if this thing, much like live streaming, like we talked about, you know, we've talked about over the years, this thing takes off, there'll be more than enough work for all of us. So why are we, you know, trying to fight over audiences and space and one up each other? It's going to be the same thing with this. If this network concept works, believe me, there'll be space for a lot more than two independent networks because...
Exactly.
Let's face the reality. This is inexpensive content to produce. And so we don't have the same margin, you know, overhead and all that stuff that you know, big production houses and all that have. So whether it comes to a bigger media entity deciding to air our content, or it becomes to us monetizing our content amongst brands that we know and work with and love, the spend for them to make a difference for us isn't what it is where you've got a 12-camera shoot and, you know, seven layers of executives and all that. It's like, pay Tachi and she'll get it done for you. She'll get that ad up on this.
I mean... Unless it's like, okay, so just to let you know really quickly to go back. So in addition to the AVOD and to the live linear, we're also a learning platform called IndieSoup Learn where creators can teach their craft. And so they'll be able to teach and monetize their craft through video courses that we will have a paywall. So they can, we have some musicians that are on board. They could decide to do a live concert, charge what they want for it. And that's type of content as well, specialized events. And then we're also going to be a podcasting and a live audio app. So all of this is kind of being built out. So that's where we are. And in terms of, you know, it is really inexpensive to produce, which can, you know, bump up profit margins. But on top of that, it's up to the creator if they want to do more with their thing. Because we do have a creator who's producing a reality television show that they're billing it as Detroit's first reality television show. They're spending tens of thousands on this. Wow. So they hired a crew and they're doing it up. But then again, it could be as simple as the creator themselves getting on a streaming tool and getting their message out there. So right. It's just about, and you know, all of it is valid, because when we look at it, the production quality, we want it to all be the same, whether they're hiring a crew that costs thousands or they're doing it themselves, we want that production quality to be the same. But you know, it's on the creator how far right. they want to take it.
So you've got some creators already in the fold and some people yeah. who are ready to roll out their content.
We've got 30 amongst wow. 25 shows.
That's very good. That's awesome. Yeah. And will any of your content be live, or it will be mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah. So
how do you work that into like the linear schedule, or you just train people, hey, I'm going live at 6 o'clock. It doesn't matter whether you're done or not. I'm taking over.
Yeah, no, well, you know, that's the thing. Well, the way it works is until, again, because these networks are ours and we can do what the hell
right,
we like.
Right.
If it's not, you know, we're so used to an hour on the hour on the half hour from traditional linear television that's what we've been trained to do. We can do a 2-minute show if we damn well please.
Right,
so
right.
basically, when the creator is done, we, you know, there is a time limit. Most shows, our shows can be anywhere between 3 minutes and 1 hour. So 3 minutes is obviously short form content. So we're kind right. of looking at it as the marriage between what social media content is and traditional television content. So we're playing with the time formats, definitely. And so when, like, say I go, which I typically do, go over on MediaScope. Right. As soon as that's finished, then the schedule will resume.
Then the next pre-recorded show goes in back into the linear. Goes. And hey, if they exactly. that means they end at 7:54 or something, so be it, right? And then you have. Now, I guess technology-wise, you have to have a way for this to run without you yes. having to be on the surface 7, 8, 10, 20 hours a day hitting all the buttons. Have There's you no found like a really good technology for managing all of this?
Yeah. There are a lot of different, the tropics.
Yes.
There's always something floating in front of my face in the tropics. But love the weather though. But so there are actually so many developers and so many companies that actually deal with technology that allows you to do this. I mean, obviously we have, you know, these regular channels and they're not doing this on their own. There's right. technology that facilitates that. So in a sense, if you think about it, whenever you're watching television, all that is a playlist where right. things are plugged in. And that's basically, you know, the way it works with all type of streaming content. Things are plugged into a playlist. You're able to interrupt it if you want for like live content. Like what we do, we have about 4 shows that are going to go live, and then some with the option like, okay, the reality television show, they've already pre-recorded everything. However, they want to do their reunion show live. So we said, right. yeah, we could do that. So there's the option to do those things. So there, the technology exists across the board. And in fact, one of our friends, actually, Carlos Phoenix, has developed a technology that allows you to do yeah. that. So, mm-hmm.
Excellent. Tell us about the metaverse. That is exciting. Like how do you live stream in the metaverse, or how do you deliver pre-recorded content, either linear or video on demand, to an audience that is existing or you're communicating with in the metaverse? You see how I'm trying to put together a sentence that sounds like I actually know what the metaverse is.
But see, had you not said anything, I would have known. You know, I wouldn't have known. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a process, right? The whole thing is a process. The metaverse or metaverses, because there are several, it's not just one, is still new. People are still getting acclimated to it. MC Curtis and I have already started dabbling in the metaverse because we did an event with a group on Clubhouse called the Metaverse Meetup. And the show that I do monthly, it's been a minute because I've been so busy, but I did a monthly show called Media Meets Brunch, which I'm going to bring back. And right. we do a media topic over brunch. So the idea was so intriguing. I said, I want to do this in the something in the metaverse. Do you think we could do this? I approached the group and they said, yeah, we could do this. So it was a co-production between us and the metaverse meetup.
There you
say
go.
That fast. There you go. So it metaverse was a meetup, co-production.
Yeah.
You're doing it. I can't. So it was a co-production where we actually, like, it's something that is not very difficult to do if you take the time to sit there and build metaverse universes or environments or experiences, but you have to understand some of the building tools. Now, a lot of the metaverse spaces, they have tools built in that you could use to build rooms, whatever your environment is. So we actually, they helped us. They built a space that we use. It was beautiful. There was a waterfall outside. It was indoors. You can look outside. They actually made a brunch table with mimosas and stuff that we could physically pick up with our avatars. I mean, it was wild. So, so we had already started doing that. And once we did that, we're like, I think people would really be into the concept of having a show or participating in a show where you could physically go into the space, ask questions physically, be part of the recording. So we're looking at it in twofold, building out a space where we could pump our content in there for people in the metaverse to enjoy.
But you could also do a virtual remote broadcast from there. You know, you set up your speakers and you set up your mics and you can interact with the crowd and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. We want metaverse productions that emanate from the metaverse into the physical world as well.
All right. So how do I, where's the door to get into this metaverse and what equipment do I need if I want to enjoy the experience?
The cool thing is you probably can use what you already have. So we are building out our space in a metaverse called Spatial. And the good thing about Spatial is it's they're all different, but they have an avatar in common. So Ready Player Me, so if you go to readyplayer.me, you can create an avatar that will work in about, I think it's about 15 different metaverse spaces. Spatial is one of them. And one of the reasons we selected Spatial is because you could use your avatar from all these other ones in there as well.
Spatial's been around for a while, right? Because played in there as part of some virtual event that I attended and just didn't think about going back afterwards or whatever, but it's pretty cool.
It is. Now, we initially were in AltSpace VR, and that's where we were going to build out. But then Microsoft sunsetted AltSpace, and we're like, all right, well, what are we going to do now? Well, what has happened is many people who had environments and experiences in AltSpace have moved their things over to Spatial. So Spatial seems to be the new AltSpace, if that makes any sense, even though it was already there. So all you need really is your computer. You can access Spatial. It's spatial.io and access it through your computer. You just register. You can connect your Ready Player Me avatar to Spatial and go in there and play around, jump, experience events. It's great.
And so there's different communities in there, and within one of those communities is where you're going to have your events or broadcast your content. And are those communities sort of open doors, or do you apply to get in, or how do you join different communities there? Is it like joining a Facebook group, or is it, you know?
No, once you, their environment, and as long as they are open and not locked or closed or private, you can go into any environment that's in Spatial and take a look around. Now, the uphill battle for this, of course, is the metaverse is still new. So you might go in there and see very few people on at the time that you're there. But as it, I'm telling you, it really is the future of entertainment. It probably will be the future of work as well. So as it starts to gain in popularity, you know, the spaces will start to fill up. But, you know, initially you're going to see maybe unless you're having an event where you tell people, you're going to see on a regular basis, not a whole lot of activity in there or what you perceive not to be a whole lot of activity. But we want it to be a hub to display everybody's great work in the metaverse and to make productions from the metaverse outwards.
Right. All right. I want to ask you about the audio side. You mentioned just like we're doing, you're going to distribute your shows as a podcast, as podcasts to the different podcast directories or podcatchers, as they call them. What about live? You mentioned live audio. Is that like Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces, or is that actually streaming your show's audio versions?
Yeah, it's more like radio. Radio, meaning you could be live at the time and go, yeah, it could be like Clubhouse, or it could be part of a playlist, similar to what the video side is. So similar to that, pre-recorded and live audio.
So where would somebody go? Do you have a destination in mind that you're going to distribute the content to on the audio side?
You mean on the audio side?
Yeah, like where would I go to listen? Would I go to a Clubhouse or a Twitter Spaces, or would I go to, a podcast distribution platform that has live audio or live streaming audio or something like that?
Yeah, so we're exploring all of that because it's still being built out. But our understanding of it right now is you could definitely go to the website, indysuitmedia.com, and you would be able to listen there from the website.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, especially for the live part, the podcast may be put up as well in other spaces, because that's the nature of what podcasting is supposed to be. You're supposed to get as wide distribution as you like, because everybody has their favorite podcast channel or podcast platform. And to me, it's less of a thing, you know, people are like, oh, but you want people to come to, you know, Indie Super Listen. Yes. But it doesn't matter, because the numbers are the numbers regardless of where they listen.
Right.
You know, if somebody really loves Spotify, well, great. You could get some Indie Soup shows on Spotify. So that's what we're looking at as well.
Have you thought about whether you're going to put the video versions on Spotify or just distribute the audio through your RSS feed so you don't have to do any sort of hands-on uploading and so forth?
Yeah. No. So the video versions, so the people, here's two things.
Because that's something I've thought about. Like, I'd like to put our video versions on Spotify, but I don't want to burden either the creators or myself with the extra step of, okay, you've uploaded to YouTube, you've set it up for podcast distribution. Okay, it's going to go to Spotify as an audio. Does it matter if it goes as a video? Well, if time was not a factor, yeah, I would do that. So I'm just curious what your thinking is on uploading video to Spotify.
We had not, but my initial thought is to leave the video for Indie Soup. And if you want to see the video version of it, to come to Indie Soup, but that the audio version is always available. And the interesting thing is we do have some vodcasts, because if it has video, I call it a vodcast. We do have some vodcasts where that is the setup. And so we're thinking about leaving those probably just on Indie Soup, but we hadn't really put a lot of effort into the thought of, oh, let's see if it means more work. The answer is no, not right now.
Right.
No.
So once you're up and running, people can go to indysoup.com and they can watch, they can watch, they can listen, they can go on demand, they can watch the linear.
They can learn.
It'll all be, the website will be the hub for accessing all of that content, but then they'll also be able to, you know, you'll reach new audiences through the podcasting apps, through the, you know, the different OTT distribution. Like, there's so many different places you're going to. It's going to be really interesting to see beyond the website, beyond YouTube, where do the audiences start to gather?
Yeah. I'm really interested to see, because again, we're OTT, so we're doing Roku initially. There are other OTT options, but we said let's start with Roku because that is the largest OTT hub right now. So it will be interesting to see whether or not people gravitate more toward that. And I'm guessing usually older audiences would gravitate towards that because they're TV first and they're used to that. Whereas you know, and then, you know, you can still, of course, watch YouTube and things on your connected television. But I think that there's a different experience with Roku, that it feels TV-ish. So right. I'm wondering what the numbers are going to be or who gravitates to what platform. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Actually. I mean, you're going to have so much data and you're going to have so many stories from that you can tell, let alone from all the experiences of putting this together. I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for your whole network. And I can't wait to start watching when you kick things off. What do you think it is about the network idea that made it sort of the next thing to do for both of us? I mean, I have my thoughts, but I'll put it out for you first, and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
And we may be thinking the same thing. I think, and similar to what I mentioned earlier, that you plateau in a sense. You grow, but then there's a plateau that you reach, or a pinnacle or a summit. And for me, I'm the type of person that once I reach whatever that pinnacle is, it's time for me to do something else. So not that I've reached the pinnacle of success with media. That's not what I'm saying. But I always make lists of what I want to do and where I want to go. And as I'm checking things off, it's like, all right, well, it's time to move on to the next thing. And so
you've mastered that challenge. Like,
yes,
you can host 700 more episodes of Mediascope and there'll be slight improvements and stuff, but you are so solid in that role, like you've mastered it, what it takes to do that show, right? So it's like you want another challenge, or how do you grow personally as well as professionally?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, so what is the next thing? And for me, the next thing is, because again, there's only so far that creators on their own, unless you happen to be very popular, only so far that you're going to get only so much reach that you'll have. However, added together, the reach is through the roof. And so that's what we figured out. And it's like, there's more power in togetherness than there is separate. So why don't we work together to get everybody seen? Because guess what? Now you've got audiences from this creator, and it's absolutely, so that was our thought process. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the algorithms aren't set up for solo creators to monetize very well. They are if you're big, if you've got influence, if you've established yourself in a certain way. Yes, you can get sponsors and you can make some money, but for the average creator, I don't care how much you're into this, there is only so much content you can push out, because time, expense, the rest of your life has to take place. You only have so many areas of expertise. You have a style that works for some kinds of content, but not for other. So how do you reach a bigger audience, and how do you feed the algorithm? You do it by being able to create a volume of content and a diversity of content that no one person could do on their own, no matter how talented they are. And then you're maximizing having all those numbers together and having all that volume of content. Now you have one address for viewers to go to and sponsors to go to and so forth. But many people that they can reach, many different options for content that they can watch and so forth. So it's like, out of many, we become much stronger. But when we're on our own, there's only so much we can do. And I think the platforms like it that way, because that way they're the only ones who are monetizing out of this.
Yeah, they don't want to pay us. I mean, let's be real. That cuts into their profit margin when they have to pay you. They really don't want to. They just realize they have to, or people would say something if they didn't. So for the average person, and it's interesting because, you know, YouTube obviously just redid their whole structure. So now you only have to have 500 subscribers in order to be eligible for the YouTube monetization program, right? Or the YouTube whatever program it's called.
Right, where you get AdSense money based on how much people watch, and if they watch your ads and whatnot, that they put in your content.
But even then, it's minimum wage, if that. So, you know, it really depends. And that doesn't mean you cannot, but we're looking at en masse. The average person is not going to. So what you can hold out for your pipe dreams if you like, but or you can band together with other people that have the same goal and everybody eats.
Right. Exactly. I think that's beautifully said. And that's kind of been my motivation with it. And I think when you look at the content that's out there too, I think having a place where people can go and somebody's curating for them is also a benefit. Because again, if I'm watching on a smart TV or I'm listening from another browser while I'm working, I don't want to have to be searching for new content to watch. So if Dr. Tachi has come along and now vetted a bunch of creators and put content together that's going to go all day, I know, okay, I don't have to think about where do I go to find something of interest. How many times do you spend 45 minutes looking for something that you actually want to watch, and then it's a 5-minute video? It's like, that was good, but it wasn't worth it.
It's like, you sit back here like, wait, it's done?
Right.
You barely get your popcorn or one of your snacks. You sit down, and in the time it took you to do all that, there's 2 minutes left. And YouTube is scattered.
And it's a big place. It's a massive place. So if you can narrow down your stopping points to a few channels that are more network kind of channels, now you've got some curated content that you know is going to be at a baseline of quality. And hopefully it's within a niche or within a wider concept that you enjoy as well.
Yes. Exactly. I agree.
So anyway, I want to wish you good luck on the launch. I'm so excited for what you're doing, and I can't wait to compare notes with you after you've been going for about a month or so. And
yes,
you know, we try and figure this whole thing out. And
absolutely.
Is there anything you want to tell people as far as are you looking for content creators? Are you looking for sponsors? What can people do to connect with you if they're interested in getting involved?
Yes.
Yes and yes, right?
Yes. Yes, we are looking for content creators. There is there's always room for great content on IndieSuit Media. And so people can go, and we're always looking for sponsors. If you're interested in putting your stuff, your ad, what you have to say to the world next to great content, we are interested. So for both, you can go to indiesoupmedia.com and scroll all the way to the bottom. At the first one is for creators. There's an application form that you would fill out, like a questionnaire. And the second one is for people who are interested in advertising or sponsorship. So yeah, we're looking for all of that.
So any subscriber plan, or is this going to be free for the viewer and monetized on the advertiser side?
Yeah, we want to monetize on the advertiser side, because we've seen anybody who's watching the space has watched Netflix, Disney Plus, all of these people that have subscriber bases do advertising-based tiers. Why? Because when you are subscriber-funded only, you are beholden to the subscribers to hang on so that you could get... That's too much pressure to...
Right.
Because the next month, something could go wrong. They may need to fix their car. And it's like, okay, I can't spend that. Plus, there's already so much content out there that is subscription-based. What makes you not that our stuff is bad. Our stuff is excellent.
It is
fly. Right? Your stuff is excellent. Of course people should subscribe, but there's already so much out there. What makes us think that people would hang on when it comes down to it, right? So initially, and I've seen OTT platforms that are getting started, and it's like a lot of friends and family, that is not a business model.
Right,
that's people
right.
being nice.
Right.
They're being nice. So you have to have a business model that includes more than relying on subscribers. And that's why we know that advertising is the way to do it. Brand partnership and sponsorship is the way to do it as well. And then again, that's why we have Indie Soup Learn that builds in a way for the network and also creators to make money through teaching the craft. We're going to have a merch store as well. That's another. So there are there's not just one way. It is going to be multiple streams of income for us.
Well, I wish you all the best with it. That's Dr. Tachi. Mediascope is the show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Before that, there's a live stream on Instagram you can check out. And of course, the big network is coming up soon. Indie Soup, indiesoup.com. Thanks so much, Tachi, for joining us.
Thank you.